Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, welcome to another Parents Custom Parents Network. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, got nothing but another wonderful show for you today, folks. Hopefully this show will be a show and a conversation that many of you will want to chime in on and share some of your thoughts and some of your views. Had the opportunity to speak to a national audience today on this particular subject, and I know I haven't posted anything up on the show page as far as what the subject we're going to talk about today. And truly, my apology. But I had a chance to speak to a national audience today on a national show. And addressed a very serious topic, a very serious issue. Something that I think many of us would be very concerned about. And very interested in chiming in on the conversation. And what am I talking about, folks? I'm talking about hazing. Hazing seems to be an issue that many of our kids are experiencing, not only at college level, at the high school level, and all depends on the culture, and I wouldn't even say the culture. I would say the climate and attitude of the prospective coaches, whether or not it's experienced at a middle school level. And I say on the prospective coaches because oftentimes the coaches that you have at a middle school level are volunteer coaches. They're not full-time coaches. I've noticed that in quite a few different areas around the country and noticed that a lot of them are volunteer coaches and may or may not have a whole lot of experience or a whole lot of knowledge in that particular sport, but may have stepped out there just to fulfill a gap as far as that sport is concerned. But nevertheless, there's still a person that's holding down the responsibility of being a coach and at the same time his or her influence over our children. So today I'm going to address the issue of hazing. And I say that because on the show I had an opportunity to be on, which was WFAN out of New York, 8 o'clock this morning, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, every Sunday morning, and a pretty great show hosted by Dr. Rick Wolf. Dr. Wolf is, and hopefully we'll have him on here with us sometime soon, but Dr. Wolf is also a crusader out there sharing information about the sporting industry, everything from youth sports to professional sports to sports management to sports medicine, you know, to sports media, thing he can probably cover to talk about various issues that our children may experience. And just so happened he was on the topic of talking about hazing, I think the last two episodes of his show. And it's called Sports Edge on WFAM every Sunday morning. But great show. Get a chance to tune in. I catch it on one of the podcasts or catch it live off of www.wfan, show straight out of New York. He had an opportunity to talk about hazing, and I shared some of my views and some of my thoughts on it, which I'll share again this evening. But it's something that we really, we as parents, really and truly need to take a look at, you know. And I didn't realize it was at the epidemic that it's at until listening to some of the things that he shared with us over the last couple shows. And when I heard, you know, some of the things that was going on, you know, it was truly something that was very, very, very alarming, and something that we as a community of parents, we as a community of parents need to address at a very serious issue, very serious nature. We need to address that just as if we were addressing the other ugly issue that we deal with on a regular basis when we're talking about our kids and our child and our children's safety, bullying. And, you know, talking about that, and I think hazing falls right along that same line, and they both need to be addressed. But, you know, folks, I don't like to go too deep into the show without first throwing up a little something for my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And, you know, Keith brings us this college experience each and every time we air the Parents Coach the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, but if at any point you want to chime in on the conversation, seem to be a little tongue-tied today, you can always give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you after we come back from hearing from my man, Mr. Keith Wright, the college experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
As always, Keith said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And I have to tend to agree with him each and every time I hear those great words. He's making smart cool. But we was on the subject of hazing, and came across a little definition on hazing. And oftentimes we associate hazing with college fraternities and sororities. But hazing has now filtered down to our sports level, our middle school, high school, and college sports. You know, like I said, oftentimes we hear about it as some form of a ritual, initiation to a ritual for a fraternity or something of that nature. But now it has gotten into our area of sports, and is now starting to affect more and more each children. I'm looking at this definition, which is very vague, but I'm going to share some of it with you. It says, often humiliating, task as part of a program of a rigorous physical training and initiation. humiliating and sometimes dangerous initiation rituals, especially as imposed on college students seeking memberships to a fraternity or a sorority. But, as I just said, it's not just college students. And it's not just seeking a membership to a fraternity or sorority. It's now our high school students, and in some cases, our middle school students that are involved in this hazing game or this hazing practice. What must be done about it? We as parents must step up, unequivocally, must step up and say, no, enough is enough. It's not going to happen. If it's going to happen, we need to remove that coach. We need to remove or shut the whole program down. I bet you that'll get some attention then. Shut the whole entire program down. Sad to say, and as I listen to Coach Wolf's show this morning and part of it last week, sad to say, we as adults don't even understand or know what constitutes hazing. You know, we think hazing is along the lines of, you know, someone being beat down or someone having to do something, you know, something physically dangerous to themselves or having to, you know, do crazy stuff like stick your hand in some manure or some type of off-the-wall foolishness or childish pranks or acts or something like that. But hazing could be, you know, just simply the fact that you have some underclassmen on a sports team and that underclassmen having to carry everybody's shoulder pads. Or that underclassman, one of his main duties is simply making sure that he brings the water bottles or the rest of the workout equipment. And if not, then he or she is retaliated against. That could be a form of hazing, continuously. You know, another definition that I ran across, hazing is the practice of a ritual or either activity involving harassment. Yes, harassment. Hear these words, harassment, abuse, humiliation. Harassment, abuse, humiliation. All of these words go along with the word hazing. I'm going to share some with you here shortly that many of us may not have thought about. That kind of sort of may open your eyes to something. And what I mean by that is, you know, and I spoke briefly about this on Coach Wolf's show this morning. And he and I both agreed that it does kind of sort of play hand in hand, and you heard the definitions that I've shared with you. I've shared with you a couple of different definitions. Let me go to dictionary.com and see what their definition is on the word hazing. But I want to bring a correlation here and bring something to light that I don't think many of us took a whole lot of time to think about. I'm looking at dictionary.com, and dictionary.com isn't giving me a whole lot. And it's giving me just a brief phrase, basically, subjective to harassment or ridicule. And that doesn't say a whole lot. It does say a lot But I was looking for a little bit more verbiage on hazing. The reason why I say that, because we really and truly need to define this word. We really and truly need to define this word, this term, to make sure that folks understand that the seriousness of it, the nature of it, the implication of it. And we need to look at it from the standpoint of it needs to go away. And the only way it's going to go away is if we demand that it goes away. If we demand that it goes away, then someone will seriously start taking a closer look at it and making sure that something needs to be done. You know, there has been a number of children that have been hurt over this, and we have said very little to actually stop it. You know, and I want to tie something in here. I'm looking at bullying. You know, because in my eyes, and again, it's just solely me, in my eyes, hazing and bullying runs a very fine line of being connected. They can be relatives. And I say that because, you know, if you think about what hazing is and how hazing is being conducted nowadays, think about bullying that runs right along the same lines. Somewhere along the line, we should tie the two together. And as I stated this morning on Coach Wolf's show, the Sports Edge on WFAN, and I have to give him that plug each and every time. I welcome, thank him for allowing me to come on and share my insight on hazing. It's not that I was the sole guest or anything. I just so happened to call in and had a chance to share some information with them. But anyway, when calling in and sharing my insight, I looked at hazing running along the same lines as bullying. And bullying is that act of intimidation. Bullying could be done in a mob form, or it could be done individually. Hazing, normally done in a mob form, to preferably someone of a younger stature, younger age group, underclassmen. You know, but the difference between the two that really stands out, bullying can probably go on indefinitely if it's not stopped. Hazing is just done for that brief time period. But at what point in time do we separate the undue harassment? And can be pushed to the levels, as you will hear later on in this show, when I play a piece of information from Coach Wolf's show, it can be pushed to the point of assault. Physical assault. So at what point in time do we as parents step up and demand that something be done about this? Something needs to be done, and it needs to be stopped immediately. There's been a number of children that have died over the country, that have died over the years behind hazing. So when are we going to call a foul a foul? We have this big, hot, and heavy campaign going on right now in the school systems on bullying. We just attach hazing to that same campaign and keep it rolling. Parents, we need to step up. We need to make sure that it's not happening in our school system. if that takes us to go down to our local school board meetings and address this issue, then it needs to be done. It's not an optional thing. It's a must thing. Something that has to happen. Something that must happen. Not an optional thing, folks. This is not an optional thing. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to try to pull up this piece that I got from Coach Wolf's show. And it may sound a little grainy. It's probably about 10 minutes long, but I'm going to let it play. And hopefully, we can hear it and have a little dialogue on it afterward, because it is truly an important piece that needs to be addressed. I take this with all seriousness, folks. It is a very important piece that very, very, very seriously needs to be addressed. And if we're not the ones that's going to address it, then who will? Who will? All right. I'm going to step to the side for a second, and then I'm going to pull up this little piece here from Coach Wolf's show, and hopefully we can hear it, and hopefully we'll have a little conversation afterwards. So, you've been listening to the Parents Code of Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
At 101.9 FM, WLAN, New York. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Let me read you an account from the New York Times. See if any of this sounds familiar, and I have to warn you, this is harsh stuff for early on a Sunday morning, but honestly, I think we need to be upfront and candid about hazing. In any event, let me go through some of these observations from this Times article. The sexual assaults that occurred involved several members of the high school football team and were particularly violent in its attacks on the freshman players. It had started with an annual ritual over the years where the older players first beat the younger kids, and then were dunked their heads into toilets. This ritual of beatings and dunkings became known to all the football players in the school as Freshman Friday. But then as the preseason football camp held in August, it became worse. According to police reports, three freshman players were pinned down on the floor and sodomized, with the older players using golf balls, pine cones, and a broomstick. This vicious activity with a variety of other kinds of tortures happened every night over several days and nights at the football camp. The five high school football coaches insisted that they were not aware of any of these activities, and furthermore, they had even sent home strong written notes before the camp saying that any kind of hazing would not be tolerated in any form. Regardless, all this was well documented, and the three athletes, the seniors, were charged as juveniles, but they could have certainly been charged as adults. They were sentenced. One was sent to a boot camp, one sent to a juvenile treatment facility, and another placed on strict probation. The football season was summarily canceled. The five coaches were heavily criticized by the courts for not providing adequate supervision so that these incidents wouldn't occur on their watch. Now, this wasn't the recent Sayreville High School case. This is from an account of the football hazing that occurred at Mepham High School out on Long Island. And these horrible events took place about 11 years ago at the team's preseason camp, which is held in Pennsylvania. The highlights, or lowlights, that I just read appeared in an article from the New York Times that ran in March 2004. I recall very clearly what an outrage this was when we discussed it on the show a decade ago. Parents in the Belmore Merrick School District were shocked and stunned that this could happen in their town's high school. And you can only imagine what the parents of the victims must have felt. I mean, suppose this had happened to your son or to your daughter. Regardless, there was a tremendous outcry that this was the wake-up call about hazing, that the time had finally come to stop hazing once and for all. But, of course, it hasn't. Hazing is still a national disgrace. It still happens all over the country. You only hear about what happened in Sayreville because it's local, but trust me, reports flow in every week about hazing events from all over the nation. And the grand jury in the Mepham High School case strongly criticized the school district for not having a zero-tolerance policy in place regarding this kind of violent behavior when it comes to hazing. We'll come back to that zero-tolerance later idea later in the show. Okay, and let's fast forward now to 2014. By now, of course, you've heard about the awful hazing allegations at Sayreville High School in New Jersey and the football team. The latest headlines have seven high school football players, ages 15 to 17, being charged with all sorts of sexual assault crimes. Even if they are tried as juvenile offenders, they can still face prison time. And if they are tried as adults, they could face even more time in jail. Now, one of the dads whose son was a victim described the attacks as being aimed at freshman players, that these attacks happened at least four times over the course of the young season so far, that involved kids being pinned down to the ground and anally probed. Now, I don't know all the legal nuances, but this certainly sounds like a forcible rape to me. This is very serious stuff. All right, we're going to talk about this horrible situation, and the reason I read you the story about Mepham High School from 10 years ago is to remind everyone that hazing has been around for a long, long time. And yet, we can't seem to stop the cycle. I'll offer some possible practical suggestions here. 1-877-337-6666. That, of course, is our number. It's brought to you by Mohegan Sun Connecticut, Mohegan Sun at Pocono Downs, and Resorts Atlantic City. Let me just stay to get the conversation going. To me, it seems that every generation of high school athletes feels that it's their, quote-unquote, responsibility to keep the tradition of hazing alive, that it's somehow a mandatory right of seniors think, well, after all, I was hazed by upperclassmen on the team when I was a freshman, and now that I'm a senior, it's my duty to keep hazing the younger kid. And, yeah, the seniors think, I know it's wrong, but what's the difference? Besides, we don't want to be looked upon as the class of seniors which chickens out and doesn't haze the freshmen. Friends, I have to tell you, this is going to continue until you can finally get one senior class that has the guts and the courage to say, no, this is truly asinine behavior, it's criminal behavior, and we're just not going to haze our younger classmates. That's when it's going to begin to finally end. Now, it was hoped that after the Mepham High School mess, that high school coaches now know they have to be in the locker room after practice. This is standard behavior for all coaches, not just football, all teams. And to not be there is, quite frankly, inexcusable and negligent. There's just no getting around that. And again, just to keep harping on this, hazing happens everywhere in this country, and there are serious issues all over. And it happens again with all kinds of high school football, the high school teams, not just football. It happens with ice hockey, soccer, wrestling, and it happens not only with boys, but with girls as well. Now, here's the other problem with hazing. There are various degrees of this. Most people don't understand or don't see that, well, if I make a kid, a freshman, carry the water bucket or carry the tapping dummies, that's hazing. Or getting somebody to stand up on the dining hall room table and sing the high school fight song, that's hazing as well. Holding a kid down and forcibly assaulting and abusing him, that's hazing obviously as well. It's just obviously a matter of degree, but I'm telling you, all hazing has to stop. All right, let's go to our callers right now. And
you know, that's
something that Coach Wolf just addressed, all the different variations of hazing, is something that really and truly needs to be shut down. And it's something that we have to hold these middle school, high school, and college coaches accountable for. And if they don't take the responsibility, then we go to the next person on the food chain, athletic directors. After that, we need to address these principals. And then once we address the principal and it's not being addressed in the right way or not being even taken serious, okay, we've done our thing at the school board. And I'm not saying all of a sudden jump up and become radicals. I'm saying make sure our children are there to have fun and enjoy the game that they love playing. It's all about fun. The more fun that they're having, the more that they will enjoy it, the more that you will get out of them. It's not about you have to go through this rites of passage. Oh, okay, y'all, I understand for all of us old heads out there, we all been through it. We did it as cheerleaders. We did it as football players. We did it as volleyball players. We did it as basketball players. We did it as baseball players. You know, we did it at every aspect of the game back in the day and nobody got hurt. No. But nowadays, you know, our children take things to a whole nother level than what we did back in our time period. So let's shut down that blind eye or open up that blind eye and make sure we're seeing the right picture. Folks, I'm not saying this to be aggressive or to be overly extra passionate with it. I'm just simply saying this because this needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed right away. Because if it doesn't get addressed right away, then as a result, we may have a whole nother issue on our hands later on down the line. We may have a whole nother issue on our hands down the line. Well, let's go back to some more here with Coach Rick Wolf. And then we'll finish up talking about this here as our show continues to wind down. Coach, where you at? Let's listen to what some of his callers had to say.
See, get to talk about this. Steve in Manhattan. Steve, good morning. You're on the fan. Okay, all right. It's a tremendous show. And I have to give you a little personal experience. When I was 13, 14 years old, we pulled a baseball coach in the swimming pool. He didn't know how to swim. So even just joking around could have turned into a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just quickly say something about Ray Rice, and I'll get to say about Ray Rice, when he knocked out his future wife, I bet if they drew blood, his testosterone level was probably a 12, 1300. If I use it as an excuse, even with these high school kids, my point of view is it possible some of the high school coaches don't want to go in the locker room because they want to be falsely accused of something? But it has to be emphasized now, not hazing, this is a criminal act.
Yes.
If you commit a criminal act, you are going to be charged either as an adult or a juvenile. Your football, baseball, whatever career is over.
Steve, I have to tell you, thanks for the call. I agree with you. We have transcended just the innocence of, oh, some boys will be boys kind of stuff. This has to do, as you said, with real criminal activity. And you have to sort of sit there and scratch your head and wonder how in the world the high school athletes who are taught and from an early on age about the fact that it's about being loyal to your teammates and do the right thing, all the various applications of team philosophy somehow get turned around 180 degrees, and now you're physically attacking these kids, these players. And it is criminal. It's as simple as that. Let's go to Joey D. in Morristown. Joey, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, good morning. A couple things. I'm a football official, and I also coach a travel team basketball. And I just want to touch on two things. I want to touch on the parents, and I want to touch on the coaches. First of all, in our situation, after our post-game wrap-up in the locker room, we do not stay directly in the locker room, but we are, nearby to make sure that there's no shenanigans. And we have to take a class in New Jersey, a full class about hazing, a full class on it. Now, I want to go to the parents for a second. I believe that the parents need to get, if they're not already, need to get more involved with their student-athlete children as to what goes on in locker rooms and have these kids fess up. And you just mentioned a parent from the Sandville situation who now suddenly knows that an incident happens to his kid four times. Now, did he know that? So every parents have to sit down with their student-athlete children and say, listen, if there's anything going on in the locker room, if there's anything happening to you, like you're being abused, and again, like you said, teasing is always another thing. If you're being made to do things because you're a freshman or whatever, these kids, these student-athletes have to confide in their parents also, and they have to let, now, I understand the desire to want to belong to a team and not blare a whistle on a teammate, but if you don't, this is what it evolves to. See what it's come to now by not opening your mouth.
Joey, I got to tell you, yeah, thank you. In fact, I will, you know, I just wanted to follow up on that. Yes, one of the suggestions I want to make is that we live in different times now, and it's you're a sports parent, and I've mentioned this on the show in the past. These are complicated, difficult times in which to be a sports parent, a mom or a dad. One of the things that you have to sit down with your son or your daughter and be very clear about this is you have to explain to them, A, that hazing is just absolutely the worst thing in the world when it comes to being involved in sports, and B, you're going to have to basically educate your youngster to say, look, you're going to have the courage to go forth and say, A, I don't want this happening with myself or my teammates, and B, you have to tell the parents. I mean, a lot of the kids don't know who to turn to. They obviously don't want to feel like they're being a snitch, and they feel like they don't want to be obviously ostracized from the team, but the reality is they have to find the courage somehow to say, okay, I got to stop this. And if you are a senior or upper classman on a team in which you're going through this kind of situation, you see things going on around you towards a hazing predicament, you have to stop and say, we're not going to do this. This is wrong. We're going to jeopardize one of our teammates' health and welfare. We're going to look at possible criminal charges. We're going to run the risk of having the season canceled. Why do we want to do this? Now, that takes tremendous amount of courage and gumption for a young person to speak up and say this, but I have to tell you, it all starts with moms and dads educating their children, but what about the dangers of hazing? All right, let me take a pause here. Obviously, when we come back, I'll take more of your calls and comments about what happened in Sayreville. The situation, of course, is still playing out. There'll be legal ramifications in the next few weeks and months to come. You know, obviously, the seasons were canceled. A lot of people have thoughts about that as well. 1-877-337-6666 is our number. John Minko has your up.
Well, you know, Coach Rick Wolf just shared a whole lot with us. And definitely listening to what some of his callers had to say. And the one guy that just chimed in and spoke about him being an official and a traveling team coach as well. Traveling team could be anything from baseball to one of these AAU teams to one of these football 707 teams or whatever. But it is a team that normally happens during the off season of our regular high school program and middle school program. But, you know, one thing that young man did just say, that they are not in the locker room, but they're nearby. Why aren't they in the locker room? It's not like you have this issue of, well, I'm not going to go in the locker room because, okay, if you're in the locker room, you know for sure that none of this foolishness is taking place. You know, if you're not in the locker room, I can understand Jerry Sandusky not going in the locker room or nobody wanting him to be in the locker room because of his antics and because of his questionable character. But folks, we need to make sure that things of this nature is not happening. And how are we going to ensure ourselves and ensure our children that things of this nature is not happening? Now, when they talked about that Freshman Friday, That means that that was happening to these young kids each and every Friday. For how long? What was the time period? My question is, after the first incident that had happened, why wasn't any of these young men going home and reporting it? Because most of the time they are intimidated. They are afraid. They want to belong. And especially if you have a child and your child's coming out of a household where you're constantly telling your child, well, you got to be tough. You got to stand up to it. You got to do that. I've actually heard a caller call in to Coach Wolf's show this morning, and he said that we need to ensure that that the children are tougher inside or something along those lines. I was hoping that he was going to be one of the callers that we just listened to. But I think he meant, or he kind of like alluded to, turn the other cheek. No. Are you foolish? What in the world? What is he thinking? Be tougher. Endure it. Okay, you're tougher. You endure it. It's not phasing you. So, now what's going to happen? It's not going to cause it to stop. It's going to say, hey, this guy is tough. We can turn it up. Because kids don't think rationally. Young 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds are not thinking rationally. They're looking at it from the standpoint of, they're looking at it from the standpoint to see if they can't, break this child or influence this child and so why would you insinuate, why would an adult insinuate, and I hope this is in the mindset of these coaches as well, but why would an adult insinuate that the child needs to or should turn the other cheek, or the child should be a little bit more tougher? Really? No, I don't think so. I do not think so. So this hazing thing must go. Parents, we as parents of these young children, these are our children, parents, we must make a stand to this hazing, just as if we addressed it at bullying level. When bullying, first became, well, I guess when somebody's child had enough and they went home and told, next thing you know, it probably was one of our elected officials went home and made mention of it. Next thing you know, we got laws and everything out about bullying, anti-bullying campaign. Hazing should be right along that same line. Should be right along that same line. Because hazing could be equally as dangerous. Because hazing believes that, I look at hazing, to some degree, being worse than bullying. Because hazing has a vicious cycle to it. It goes from one class to the next class, to the next class, to the next class. It continues on. Whether or not it's at a sports team or whether or not it's one of the fraternities or sororities. So if you are on a sports team and you endure a level of hazing, then you turn around and you pledge a fraternity and you have to endure a level of hazing. What are you going to think? I'm surprised that, getting or whatever they do at all these various, these beer pongs and all these other crazy and wild things that these children come up with, that's what's going to happen. If one thing is not effective enough, they're going to try to take it to the next level. So at what point in time do we as parents decide to say enough is enough? That's the question. Give us a call. Give us a call, 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. We'll be right back there, folks.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, you know, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college. And if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and then move forward.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, we're back, folks. I had to take a little quick break. I wanted to check and see whatever else Coach Wolf had to say on that particular podcast, and I think I'm going to share some more of that with you, and then we're going to prepare to wrap up because I need to also share some information on some of the things that we as parents of children and children that are athletes need to prepare ourselves for and need to start thinking about as the school system gets underway. We're into the second month, or in some cases maybe in the third month of our school system and school year, should I say. And there's some things that we should start thinking about. If our children are in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade playing sports, plan to play sports at the next level, you know, so we'll get a little bit of that in as well. We're going to finish up with Coach Rick Wolf, and then after we finish up with Coach Rick Wolf, I got some other things to share with you, and then we're prepared to wind down here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio. Where you at, Coach?
A number of hazing allegations are in play, and I have to just give you some various thoughts about hazing. In most states, hazing is indeed a crime. It can be a felony if the victim is physically injured. At the very least, it would be most likely to be seen as a misdemeanor. Just about every college and university in the country has banned and outlawed hazing. Numerous deaths over the years from frat parties, for pledges or forced to drink and otherwise punished. You know, in some states, if an individual is witness to a hazing situation, he or she is under legal obligation to report it to the authorities. According to one study I saw, 70% of all college athletes have reported being hazed, 70%, but only 60% would ever consider filing a report about it. And again, we're talking about Sayreville. I mentioned at the top of the show about Mepham High School, what happened there about a decade ago. But I'm telling you, hazing is so commonplace in this country, it's just horrible. I was thinking about 10 years ago, actually 15 years ago up in Trumbull, Connecticut, where seven wrestlers on the high school wrestling team decided to attack and sodomize one of their teammates the attackers were eventually expelled from school. There's a recent report out of Pittsburgh where a couple of soccer players in a high school soccer team decided to pick on one of their teammates who's autistic. And what these two boys did apparently was they basically tied and this autistic teammate to one of the goalposts and basically left him there by himself. The boy was eventually rescued by a local state trooper who happened to be passing by. I mean, this stuff goes on, unfortunately, all over the country. One of the more celebrated cases,
and at that point, folks, that's where the line should have truly been drawn. When you, as a child, take it upon yourself to tie a teammate to a goalpost. Now, in this case, not only just was it a teammate, it was an autistic teammate. Really? There's a few issues going on here. Because the parents of the child that actually created the act of tying someone to a goalpost or sodomizing someone or forcing someone to binge drink and all the other kind of stuff, parent of that child, that's where the conversation needs to start. And the parents of the individual that was the victim or has been victims in most cases. Again, I understand you're not trying to ruin anyone's career. You're not trying to ruin anyone's school life. But something has to be addressed. They have to be kicked off the team. And if it's an issue where the entire team is doing it and the kids refuse to do it, shut the system down. Shut the season down. I bet you that will grab someone's attention then. Shut the season down. I'm going to keep my eyes and ears open, folks, and see if I hear about any local hazing issues going on in our nearby cities. And if you hear of any, please share them with us here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network. I think this topic is starting to raise its ugly head, and it will grow some feet here real soon. But before it gets out the gate and starts affecting the many children that we have out there playing in the sports industry, I think very seriously we need to do something about it. Very seriously, we as a group of parents, we as a network of parents. Because you're talking about our future, our children, our ones that we have got up in the middle of the night and wiped their nose. We have got up in the middle of the night and made sure that they were still tucked in. We have gotten up in the middle of the night, walked in there because we heard them cough one time too many. Think about that, parents. Think about that. I'm going to sidetrack here for a minute because we're getting ready to wind down here. We've been on with you for about the last hour or so, close to the last hour. But I need to talk about some things that's right around the corner, that's right here in our face. Coming up on the early signing period of football. If your child is interested in playing at the next level, many of the coaches will be accepting letters of intent, your national letters of intent, during the month of November. Those are normally their prime time athletes, guys that they like to get out of the way first so they can start seeing what else they have to do to build their teams. Basketball can also squeeze in there also during that early signing period. If you have that opportunity, take it. Take it, because you never know what's going to happen towards the end of your season. If you haven't had any interest and your child is a junior or a senior, please contact us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. You can send us an email at pcphr@aol.com. pcphr@aol.com. You can also reach us on Facebook at Parents Coach Parents Network, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PCP Network as well. And I say that we also have a hotline number out there. I forgot to mention that part. We also have a hotline number out there is code 641-715-1500. I'll say that number again, area code 641-715-1500. And once you get through that, then you want to put in extension 508-281-POUND. 508-281-POUND. Leave your question, leave the information there. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Voice message service pops up on my phone immediately. You have left your voice message. I will immediately respond back to you and hopefully have your answer back to you within 24 hours or less. The only reason why I wouldn't get it back or couldn't get it back to you sooner because I may be involved in doing something else or sharing some other information with someone else at that time. But we will get back to you 24 hours or less, we promise you. Help us help you. That is our mantra, folks. That is our mantra. We are the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now in the recruiting world. You know, coaches are starting to look at kids. They're out doing their visits. They're getting ready to come out to a number of schools and do some evaluation. The evaluation time is right around the corner. Doors are wide open to it. And the coaches can come out to your high school, visit with you. And if you listen to our last week's show and I talked about the evaluation period, I talked about the dead period, I talked about the quiet period, and I talked about the contact period. Know the definition of each one of those periods, folks. Please, please, please know the definition. You don't want to put yourself or your child in any situation, where he or she violates one of those periods, reaching out to a coach or a coach reaching out to them. So, one thing that I like to share with everyone, if you have a child that's playing sports and he or she hasn't had any interest or any looks or anything of that nature, please, again, send me an email. I have a form letter I like to share with all my parents. And basically the form letter identifies the child, you know, allows the child to introduce him or herself. And at that point, just shows that the child has some interest in that coach's program. I have a number of websites. If you give me a list of schools that your child is interested in, I also have a list of websites where you can go straight to the website and pick up that coach's email address and possibly that coach's phone number. But I recommend that you reach out to the coach first via email. Pick up the coach's email address, send the coach form letter introducing your child, and then go from there to establish some type of dialogue. You want to try to establish some type of dialogue as soon as possible. If your child is getting ready to go into the basketball season, which is coming up right around the corner, you want to make sure you get a copy of that coach's, of your child's upcoming schedule for this season to that coach. And you want to have it in enough time so that the coach can make plans or make adjustments to his or her schedule to try to get out to see your child. You never know, that coach could be two cities over from where you live. But if the coach doesn't know that your child is out there and your child is even interested in his program or her program, then why would he come over to your school? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, parents. And if he does have the opportunity to come over to the school and he wants to have a sit down with you, then that can be done. But you need to let the coach know that you're even interested in his school. And when I say his school, her school as well. So that's what we need to make sure we start doing, parents. give me that information. If you have a child out there that needs some assistance, or you need some assistance, because it's all about you doing your part in this puzzle, doing your part in this puzzle, in this process, and making sure that your child is doing what he or she needs to do in the classroom, on the field, or on the court, and we doing the other part, putting together the rest of the pieces of the puzzle by helping them put together a solid letter, helping them get out a couple emails to the various coaches, helping them track the letters that we send out to the various coaches. Help us help you here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network. I was hoping that we were going to have some phone calls this evening and some folks are going to chime in with some questions, you know, because I always love answering questions and getting you that information that you need so desperately to make things happen in the best interest of our children. It's all about our children in the end, folks. It's all about our children. Well, I'm going to wind down here. Again, you can always reach us on Facebook. You reach us at pcphr@aol.com. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Instagram at PCP Network. As always, we're looking forward to hearing from you. We'll be up again next Sunday at the same time, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Prior to our show next Sunday, I will be on a call with a like-minded group, Mothers of Athletes, where they have someone from the NCAA calling in and going to give us some eligibility center actually calling in and going to give us some updates on the new changes coming out of the eligibility center as far as our children being eligible to play at Division I, Division II, and Division III collegiate level. All right? Well, it's been fun. It's been real fun. So until then, help us help you here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Keith, take us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know